Excellent. Well, as Justin and Anthony said, welcome to Good Friday. And as we come into tonight, as we move through the weekend, there's so much for us to celebrate. We've got so many different things that we're going to be celebrating, things that we have been celebrating. It's been an amazing Easter season already as we've moved through the Easter egg hunt and Palm Sunday this past week. And I know sometimes people think, well, Good Friday, it needs to be somber, but here's the problem. We know the whole story. We know the story. We know what comes next. And at the same time, I recognize that not all of us walk into tonight celebrating. And I recognize that for some of us, as we walk in tonight, we walk in the midst of dark and difficult situations and circumstances and confusing things that we're trying to work through and process. And Good Friday, it actually speaks really powerfully to that, if you look at it for what it is. Because when you look at the story of Good Friday for what it is, it's phenomenally confusing. Just imagine with me for just a moment what it would have been like for those who were closest to Jesus that night. For his disciples as they walked through that Good Friday. I mean, these were individuals who'd given everything. They'd given everything to follow Jesus. They'd given their lives. They'd literally risked their lives. It wasn't just Jesus' life that was in danger as the religious leaders are beginning to seek to kill him. They understood, no, our lives are in danger as well. But these guys are all in. All in to follow Jesus and what Jesus is doing and who they believe Jesus is. As a matter of fact, there's an interesting story that John shares with us. And for those of you who don't know who John is, John's actually Jesus' best friend. He's the closest of the disciples to Jesus. And John shares with us this really interesting story in John chapter 6, where Jesus has just literally fed thousands of people. He's done this amazing miracle. And coming out of that, the crowds begin to follow him. And Jesus confronts them and he says to them, listen, you guys don't really believe in me. And they say, well, you know, we want to believe in you, but we need a sign. And like I said, he's just gotten done feeding them. And so they turn back to him and say, well, the sign that we need is feed us again. And Jesus says, you don't believe in me, you just want the food. It's like some of us on Sunday mornings when we show up. And he says, you just want the food. And then he goes into this really interesting conversation. He begins to talk to them about what's going to happen to them, what's going to happen to him. And he talks about how he's the bread of life. And it's this really intense conversation. And they start to get freaked out. The crowd starts to get freaked out. And they say, you know what? I don't know what you're talking about. This guy's talking about strange things. We're out of here. Listen to how John tells the story. He says this. He says, from this time, many of his disciples, it wasn't just the crowd, many of his disciples, not the 12, but beyond that, those who'd been with him and following him, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. And then you hear this really interesting interaction between Jesus and the 12. So Jesus turns to the 12 and he says this. He says, you do not want to leave me too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. He says, what about you guys? Everybody's leaving. What about you guys? And Peter responds back. Listen to what Peter says. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Peter responds back and he says, no, Jesus, where would we go? You're the one. He says, where would we go? And I don't think it's just that you're the one. It's very much this Jesus, if you're not the one, we've got nothing. Like, where would we go? To whom would we turn? These guys are all in. Where else would we go? And for years, they're following Jesus. And more, they're believing, no, this is the one, this is the one, this is the one, this is the one. And then on Palm Sunday, as we talked about this past Sunday, they enter into Jerusalem, and the crowds are around them, and they're celebrating Jesus, and this is going to be it. This is it, guys. We're finally going to be there. He's finally going to become king. He's finally going to overthrow Rome. We're finally going to rule with him. And they're going back and forth about what that means for them and who gets to be Secretary of State and who gets to be, who's going to rule with them and what's this going to look like? And I can't imagine what it was like for them that day. They're entering into Jerusalem. I have to imagine a lot of chest bumps that day. A lot. Like, this is it. Yes. Finally, we finally made it. Remember that one time when he was talking weird and we stuck with him and everybody else left? It's going to pay off today. Today's our day. This is it. And then everything starts to spin. And they entered Jerusalem expecting a coronation. And instead, they found themselves at a crucifixion. They were sure they were coming for a coronation. And they find themselves at a crucifixion. And they watch him betrayed, and they watch him beaten, and they watch him humiliated. They watch him be nailed to that cross. And I have to imagine, and as we're told the story, you see that they're kind of on the outskirts watching. So you see Peter kind of on the outskirts watching, and you see John at the actual crucifixion. I have to imagine as they're kind of watching this unfold, that throughout the whole time they're thinking, okay, when is this going to turn? And he gets betrayed, and he's taken into custody, and he goes before the high priest, and they're like, okay, this is it. Like, he just wanted to get betrayed so that he could be in front of the high priest and just do his thing. This is it. Like, this is going to be it. This is the turning point. And then he gets sent to Pilate. He's like, no, he wanted to be in front of Rome. Like, he wanted to be in front of the crowd. That makes sense. This makes sense. This is going to work out. This is where he does his thing. This is where it turns. And I have to imagine through the whole thing, they're thinking, well, I don't know why you would want to be put on a cross, but this is probably, he just wants to make it super dramatic. It's got a turn, right? John, this has got to be it, right? Like, this has got to be. Until it didn't turn. There's this crazy story that, again, John tells us that takes place at the actual crucifixion. I can't even fathom this conversation, but John is is sharing with us a conversation that Jesus actually has with him while he's on the cross. And as Jesus is on the cross, listen to how John shares it. He says, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved, which is how John refers to himself inside of his letter. This is when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby. He said to his mother, dear woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that scripture will be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of white vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. He's sitting on the cross, and Jesus looks down, and he sees his mother, and he sees John, and he says to John, John, I want you to take care of my mom. What? And sometimes I think we read this story. Sometimes we think we read this story, and we do it in this like Sunday school thing where it's like John's sitting there, and he's like, yeah, Jesus, I'd love to take care of your mom. You can count on me. You think that's how he took it? John, I want you to take it. What are you talking about? What are you doing? You take care of your mom. And then it was finished. What in the world is happening? And when you read through the story, I believe that for the disciples, when it was finished, it was finished. When he gave his life, that was it. When he died, that was it. For the disciples, when it was finished, it was finished. It's over. It's over. How could this possibly happen? God, how could you possibly let this happen? And all of us have been there. All of us have been there in those circumstances, and we're looking at the situation, and we're looking at what's happening, and it's not that we're wrestling with God, it's that we're done with God. That's it. I'm done. It's interesting. Most of the time when I talk to individuals who tell me that they don't believe in God, and I ask them why, they don't talk to me about science or what they observe. You know what they talk to me about? Justice. Almost every time they talk to me about justice, I don't understand in a world, when I look at the world, when I look at what happened to my aunt, when I look at what happened over here, when I look at this, almost every time they talk to me about justice. Because here's the thing, it's easier to believe that you don't have a dad than it is to believe that you have a dad who doesn't care about you. And all of us have been there in that circumstance, in that situation, and you're looking at it and you're thinking, what in the world are you doing, God? How could this possibly happen? And you couldn't possibly be who you say you are if this happened. And usually when we're saying that to God, we're usually in the midst of circumstances that we created, to be honest. Oftentimes we're in the situation that we created and we're still saying that to God. Imagine being in a situation where you know he didn't deserve that. It wasn't like, well, maybe it wasn't. No. You were with him. You saw the way that he loved. You knew the way that he cared about people. You knew. You were convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is the one, the Son of God, and then God lets this happen. How could you possibly do that? What is wrong with you? I'm convinced for the disciples, when it was finished, it was finished. You know, it's not the disciples who come and ask for Jesus' body. It's amazing. He has told them over and over and over again, I'm going to die. No, you're not, Jesus. Yes, I am. I'm going to die. No, you're not. I'm going to die. Stop talking like that, Jesus. Peter and him get into an argument where Jesus says, I'm going to die, and Peter says, you've got to stop saying that. He's been telling them over and over and over again. Not only that, he's been telling them, I'm going to die, and I'm going to come back. I'm going to die, and I'm going to come back. You know what's amazing about this? When Jesus comes back from the dead, none of his followers are there. But you know who is there? Roman guards. You know why? Because those who were against Jesus had heard him say, I'm going to come back. And so those who were against him believed him more than those who followed him. And so they put the guards there to make sure that the disciples didn't come and steal the body. If there's any question about whether or not he made it clear I'm coming back, all of that is answered by the fact that the guards were stationed there. But you know who wasn't there? The disciples. When it was finished, it was finished. Because they believed the lie of Friday. And the lie of Friday is this. This is all there is. The lie of Friday is God's abandoned you. The lie of Friday is that God's evil. The lie of Friday is that there's no way anything good could come of what just happened. And they believed the lie of Friday. But the story didn't end on Friday, did it? The story didn't end on Friday. And on Sunday, Jesus walked out of that tomb. And on Sunday, the Father brought Jesus back from the dead. And on Sunday, God showed that things that not only physically dead, but are spiritually dead, could be brought back to life. And in this moment where we thought that God was evil, God was conquering evil. In this moment where we thought that God had abandoned us, God was saving us. And in this moment where they thought that God was selfish, God was carrying out his most selfless act of all time. But they believe the lie of Friday, and if you believe the lie of Friday, you won't be there on Sunday. Listen. If you believe the lie of Friday, you won't be there on Sunday. If you believe the lie of Friday, you'll begin to run from God. Just as the disciples began to run and hide, and if you believe the lie of Friday, you won't be there on Sunday. But Jesus has stepped into our lives, and this is what's so powerful about Good Friday. Jesus, as he steps into our lives, he says, listen, you can trust the Father. You can trust the Father. Why? Because he's God? No, yes, you should be able to trust him for that, but there's more to that. You can trust the Father. You can trust the Father with your Friday. Why? Because he was faithful with mine. You can trust the Father with your Friday, that situation, and all of us have experienced it, those circumstances where you're walking through and you're like, I don't understand. I don't know what's happening, and it's dark, and it doesn't look like anything good could ever come of it. And Jesus, one of those powerful things that Jesus does with Good Friday is he steps and says, no, you can trust God with your Good Friday because he was faithful with mine. And if you'll trust him, listen, if you'll trust him, there will be a Sunday. There will be a Sunday. And I know you feel just like my disciples felt. I know you feel just like I felt in that garden as I'm weeping and I'm terrified of what's going to happen that next day. I know you're confused and I know it's scary. But he will be faithful with Friday. And there will be a Sunday. You can trust him. Why? Because he's God? No, because he was faithful with my Friday. And he'll be faithful with yours. We could go around this room right now, and you could hear story after story of individuals who tell you the same thing. He was faithful with my Friday. And he'll be faithful with yours. But the disciples believed the lie of Friday. And so they weren't there on Sunday. And this is the part of the story that has been blowing my mind for the last couple of weeks as I prepared for tonight. It just blows my mind. I don't get it. I can't wrap my mind around it, because Jesus walks out of that tomb on Sunday morning and he's been telling them. As a matter of fact, his enemies are worried about it. His disciples don't believe it, but his enemies are worried about it. He's been telling them, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. And he does the most amazing thing in all of history, and he walks out of the tomb and no one's there. He's just done the most powerful, the most life-changing, eternity-changing thing in all of history, and he walks out to no one. The guards aren't even there anymore because there was an earthquake. They freak out and run. Welcome to your moment. And those guys that he'd been spending all that time with and investing in and telling them, no, you can trust me. I am who I say I am, and this is how it's going to work. And I know you're not really comfortable with it, but this is how it's going to work. They're nowhere to be found. You know what would happen if it were me in that situation? You know what I'd do if I've been working with them and I've been telling them this, and this is what you can expect, and then I walk out and there's no one there. You know what would happen? You know what I'd do? I'd get new people. But you know what Jesus does? He goes to find them. He just sacrificed himself. Went through hell, literally went to hell for them, has given everything for them. He comes out and they're nowhere to be found. And what does he do? He goes to find them? Are you serious? Who does that? He goes to find them. To make sure that they're not left in Friday. He goes to find them so that they can experience Sunday. They don't experience Sunday when he walks out. They experience it when he finds them. Let me take you to one of the moments where he first appears to them, just in case you're doubting what I'm telling you about the fact that for them it was over. Listen to this. It's found later on in the book of John. Again, John's telling us this, walking us through the life of Jesus. It says this. It says, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, they're terrified. They've been running. They've been hiding. We're the ones who are going to be next. They're terrified. With the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And he said that after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. He comes out, and rather than them being there waiting for him, rather than them looking for him, they've been running, and they're scared, and they're terrified, and he goes to find them. Listen to me. Some of you are here tonight, and you've bought into the lie of Friday. You've bought into the lie because of what you've walked through or what you've experienced or what you're going through right now. You've bought into the lie that this is all there is. You've bought into the lie that God is against you instead of for you, that God is evil instead of conquering evil. You've bought into the lie of Friday, and because of that, you've missed the Easter that God has, the Sunday that God has in store for you. But here's the thing. I want to let you know this tonight. Jesus has come to find you tonight. And you are here tonight and you are watching online because of the fact that Jesus is looking for you. He's come to find you. And he's not content with you continuing to just live in Friday. He wants for you to know the Sunday that he has in store for you. Jesus is looking for you. And even though he should have walked away, he's come to find us. And I don't know what your circumstance is tonight, and I don't know what your situation is. But I'm telling you, he was faithful with that Friday. And he'll be faithful with yours as well. And even for those of us who've run from him instead of looking for him, he's come to find you tonight. He's looking for you tonight. Because in his mercy and his grace, he wants to make sure. He wants to make sure that you don't live your life in the lie of Friday. That you don't miss out on the Sunday that he's had in store for you, that he's planned for you the whole time. He's come to find you. But you're going to have to trust him. You're going to have to stop running. Stop running from and start looking for him. He's come to find you. Will you allow him? Will you allow him? Will you give to him that Friday? And allow him to prove what he's proven over and over and over and over again. And that is this. He'll be faithful with your Friday. And there will be a Sunday. Stop running from him and start looking for him. He's come to find you. Will you pray with me? As we bow our heads, I want to speak to those of you who are here tonight and you've been running from Him. You've bought into the lie of Friday. You've bought into the lie that He's not actually for you. You've bought into the lie that this is all there is. It couldn't be further from the truth. I want to invite you to go to Him right now. To go before Him right now. You don't need special words, but to go before Him right now and to say, Jesus, I've been running from You, but I want You to find me. I trust you that You'll be faithful with my Friday as well. I trust You that You'll be faithful with my Friday as well. I just invite all of us right now, just in our conversation with Him, to say that to Him. You'll be faithful with my Friday as well. I know that You'll be faithful with my Friday as well. To step into that with Him, to recognize the truth that in the darkest of moments, God was working and moving, that God was not in that moment evil, but conquering evil, that God was not in that moment abandoning us, but saving us. And to recognize that, no, God, You will be faithful with my Friday as well. And maybe for the first time in your life, say, Jesus, I want to know You. I want to be known by You. I want to be found by You. I invite you to invite Him into your life. He's proven He'll be faithful. But Friday, there will be a Sunday. Father, we thank You for what You did on that cross, the way that You stepped into our pain, the brokenness of our sin and selfishness, how You gave Your Son on that cross for us to be able to step into this relationship with You, not just for us to observe You doing this with Him, but for us to know that the invitation is open for You to do that in our lives as well because of what Jesus did on that cross. And Father, I want to pray for those who are here who are for the very first time inviting You to find them. Father, I pray that right now You would begin to move and work in their heart for them to know the truth of who You are and what You've done for them, Your love and Your grace and Your mercy for them. Father, I pray that they would be overwhelmed by that. Father, what do we say to a God who not only makes Easter possible, makes new life possible, but then a God who comes to find us so that we might experience it. You're amazing. And we stand in Your awe. We stand in awe of all that You are. In Jesus' name.